You know, I was talking with Linda and I said the possibility that these honeybees are dying might have something to do with terrorism. And, you know, she did some checking. She just sent me an email with an attachment and said, you know what, I'm going to check into this further. This was an article that's 5, 6 years old, but it says that Osama bin Laden has been using a network of shops selling honey, a trade widespread in the Middle East, to raise money and smuggle contraband. Now, isn't it interesting if, in order to get to him and hurt him, they kill off all the honeybees? Just another thought. I'll be back in a moment. Oh, yeah, by the end of this hour, by the way, I will go through the list of the top 10 horror films and sci-fi films, so you won't go crazy trying to figure out what they are. And I'll do a little review when we come back, and then we'll take the rest of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, none of the top-rated sci-fi titles has been picked yet. None. And only a few of the top 10 horror films has been picked. Number 10 was The Exorcist. Number 9, Psycho. And then number 5, Halloween, has been picked. And that's it. So we've got a whole list of other horror films, too, that you need to pick. I'll give you the lists before we're off the air, just so you don't go nuts over the weekend. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Yes, Daryl from Ohio.
Hi, Daryl. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. The thing I have been having issues with lately is I've been having visions of people that are hurt, or, you know, family members even that, you know, are hurt, or things along that line. They happen usually when I'm awake or when I'm asleep, either way. Take, for instance, right before Christmas this past year, my sister-in-law came up to me and said somebody came to her in a vision and a dream stating that they needed to watch one of the family members. And I came right out and said, okay, you need to watch your dad. Within 6 days, the man wound up in the hospital with a heart attack. He's fine.
Ugh. Now, but, did your warning, Daryl, help him at all, or help the family?
No.
It didn't. Okay.
No, so it didn't help. Another instance is that we had gone on a camping trip, and I had a vision of somebody that was going to die, and I found out over that same weekend, the lady that lived down the street that everybody called the babysitter had a heart attack and died over the weekend.
Man.
And I'm wondering if there's anybody that I can contact to either hone these skills to where I would be able to know exactly who it is, or if there's somebody that I can contact to get rid of them.
I don't think you want to get rid of it, do you?
No, not exactly, because it's almost like it's a psychic ability, but I want to be able to hone my skills a little better so I could tell who it is to be able to help them if they need help.
We had a guest on just recently by the name of Todd Murphy.
I heard that program.
Okay. Spiritualbrain.com is his website. Send him an email. Spiritualbrain.com.
Okay.
He might be able to refer you to some people.
Okay, because like I said, it doesn't really frighten me that this happens, because I've had visions of people that are hurt, but I can't tell exactly who it is. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you know, within minutes, an ambulance will show up on the street where I'm at. So it seems like it's in the same vicinity as where I am.
You know,
I have these visions.
This is a great gift of yours. You got to maximize it. You know,
that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? And you have the guts at least to tell people that you think something could happen to them or somebody they care about. That's better than most people just say nothing.
Yeah, because it's not so much, like I said, it's not so much that it scares me. You know, I want to be able to help people, because that's the way I've been all my life, is I've wanted to help people. And if I could actually hone this to where I could say, okay, so-and-so is going to be in trouble, you know, and give them a call and say, hey, you know, look out.
Go get checked up now.
Go get, you know, a doctor's advice.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. And it sounds like you can hone those skills. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Hi there.
George?
Yes, welcome.
This is John from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hey, John. What's going on in Cleveland?
Nothing much. Streamlink member 2. But anyways, I wanted to tell you a story. It's very twisted, actually. I was a sophomore in high school about 4 years ago, and the former superintendent wanted to direct the band to insert one of the songs like the Washington Post. And he came in and he rehearsed with us for a week, and he was like well into his like 90s. And me and my friends, being the punks we were, kind of joked around and said, oh, well, you know, what if he like croaks on stage?
During
the concert, we unveiled the new band uniforms for the next year, and they lowered from the ceiling, and right as they lowered, he fell, and he croaked on stage, and it took them about 15 minutes to revive him.
And I guess they didn't, right?
But yeah, no, they got him back. But
then he didn't croak. He almost...
He died. They didn't have a pulse for about 15 minutes, and then they performed CPR, and they shocked him.
Well, they brought him back, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was, I mean...
Now,
like,
did you guys laugh about this afterwards, or did you finally...
Absolutely not. No. We stood there in shock, and we're like, we couldn't believe it. We're like, well, now what do we do?
Did you guys think you made this happen?
No, but I mean, it was just a strange jinx coincidence. Like, I tried to get through last week to tell a story, but I don't know. It was just...
Never a coincidence, John. There's never a coincidence. These things happen. Not that you guys intended to do this, but you know what? You never know if your energy... Well, the other thing, too, which is very possible, is you picked up on something that was going to happen. You just didn't exactly know it would.
Yeah.
It is strange, though. But what, they lowered the uniforms were up above, and they lowered them down?
It was just like an effect, you know.
And he was just standing on stage, he saw this, and then that was it for him.
Like, he was directing, like, we were playing the Washington Post, and all of a sudden he just fell, and that was it.
Oh, that's amazing.
And, like, he lived for a couple months later, and then he passed
and
on.
But
like I said, I just want to say thank you for these great shows that I listen to every weekend. We're in a band and travel around and coming home Friday nights from gigs all over the East. We always listen to Coast.
What kind of music you guys play?
Just rock music.
Yeah. All right, great. Well, good luck with your career.
Thank you very much, George.
Okay, you too. Next up, let's go to the horror hotline or sci-fi line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, this is Kent from San Francisco.
Hi, Kent. How are you?
I'm doing good. My horror would probably have to be kind of a newer flick, but Hostel.
Ah, it's not on my list, but that was a great one.
I don't know. It kind of hit home for me because, I mean, I've stayed in hostels, and I don't know. I pretty freaked me out, so. And probably the best sci-fi, I think, would have to be Alien.
Which one? There were a couple, right?
I liked the first one.
That was the one that came out in 79?
Yeah. 79.
That is number 5 on the list.
Sweet.
Finally, somebody got a sci-fi movie.
I like also Independence Day. I liked that. But...
That was a classic. Now, the first Alien, Sigourney Weaver was in that, and she was also in the second one, if I remember, right? Yeah.
Yes.
They were both classics. My favorite scene was when she was face to face with that thing.
Oh yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was a classic.
And the little mini head came out.
But you know what? I'm surprised that Alien and then Aliens, I might as well say Aliens was number 6, and the other Alien that you mentioned was number 5. Those were pretty highly rated.
Oh yeah.
I didn't think they'd be up that high. But they were. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go next to West of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Mike trucking through Utah.
Hey, Mike.
On XM Radio.
Sure.
I'd like to talk about chemtrails. I've got information that's at least third hand from supposedly folks that fly these planes.
Really?
In the military, yeah.
Okay. What's up?
There's twofold purpose to the chemtrails. And as Linda alluded to, it was weather modification. The chemtrails are made up of two basic components, atomized aluminum silicate, and then also isotope of boron. Now, the first purpose, of course, is to create this artificial reflective cloud that Linda said would reduce the sun's rays hitting the Earth. And they do it over a wide region. They start out over the coastlines of the West Coast, and try and block the rays, and then as the wind pushes it cloud across the continent, the western half of the country, it tends to reduce the rays hitting the Earth.
Why would they want to reduce the rays? Is there something going on that if they weren't doing this, there'd be some serious problems?
They're just trying to combat global warming, but it's also the government's attempt to control weather on a large scale. They're trying to figure out how to do that, and this is one of their experiments in doing that. But it also causes a problem that they hadn't thought of, that has actually, I think, we can see in the wildfires. What it does when you do global dimming, by using this method, you're decreasing the evaporation rate of the groundwater, so you're getting less moisture in the air. So you're actually causing drought downstream.
Ah, interesting.
So if you Google Google global warming, you'll global dimming, you'll find a whole bunch of different studies around the world just on industrial pollution.
That's a phenomenal theory that you've come up with, and I guess the people who have told you this, they're flying these planes.
I get at least third hand from one source. One is a Navy flyer out of the Puget Sound. And I'm getting it third hand.
Why don't they just come out and tell us?
They're not supposed to. They're in the service, and they're sworn to secrecy. I suppose some of them may, when they get out of the service, call this show. But there's also a secondary purpose, and the reason what they do with the boron isotope, they took soil samples. Before they ever started, they did a map of the western United States, and they took soil samples to find out what the background radiation level of this particular boron isotope was.
Uh-huh.
And by going back and studying the soil later after these, they've been doing it for at least a decade and a half, they can tell how it's dispersed. It's a vectoring of this information. So they know how to target. If they ever had to use chemical or biological warfare in a theater of war, they would know how it would vector with the wind. Because they would be able to predict, the localized weather in that theater overseas, wherever it would be. And also the other thing that they tell me is that if we were attacked by chemical or biological weapons, they could actually use these planes to spray antibodies or vaccines in the air to help protect the population.
And I long suspected that as well. Hey, thanks. This is great information. I appreciate that. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It is your turn. Hi there.
How you doing tonight, George?
Great.
I'm Tony from Virginia Beach.
Hi.
And my favorite, I'll tell you my favorite movie, and then I have a little small story. My favorite movie for the horror movie is Nightmare on Elm Street. And my favorite sci-fi movie is Forbidden Planet, which was an old sci-fi, but it is excellent.
It is an old classic. It is not part of my top 10 for sci-fi.
I think it would. The best ones are never the top.
No.
So. I seen a movie that it was a really creepy movie. It scared me so bad, and I have like 2,000 horror movies. Me and my wife rented it from the video store about 2 years ago. And the box just looked good. I just grabbed it because I watch all horror movies. Got home, watched it, and I was like, man, this movie is not like the box. I was like, they must have put the wrong movie in. And it looked like Home Done. And when it got to the end of the movie, what it was, the name of the movie was called The Last Horror Movie. And what it was when it gets to the very end, it's like all this psychotic stuff, this guy just going around killing everybody. And it looks really bad. And I'm like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen, worst B movie I've ever seen. And at the very end, the guy goes, and he shows himself putting, he's filming it. He takes the movie that was in the box out. He puts this movie in himself. And it's like he's messing with his camcorder. Like he's, it looks like it's filmed by a camcorder.
Yeah.
And he says, I followed you home from the video store, and I'm outside of your house.
Oh,
I'm going to kill you right now.
That's scary.
And me and my wife were like looking at each other. We were like, oh, that's pretty funny. We were like, that's pretty good. And then he goes, this is the last horror movie you'll ever see. And the name of it was The Last Horror Movie. The box, the cover, the actors are totally different. So it makes you think, what if somebody did that? We just looked at each other. We went and locked all the doors in the house. And I looked it up online, and then,
That is a what a great idea for a horrible movie, huh?
You can get it right now. I mean, it's not hard to find it. It came out like 2 years ago.
Imagine some guy's there watching you get that movie. He already put his movie into the box there, and out you go.
That's exactly the way the movie, it makes you believe that.
I love it. Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. By the way, the Alien has a distinction of being number 5 on the sci-fi list and number 6 on the horror film list. It's the only film that's on both of these lists. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Gina from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Gina. How are you?
Good. I don't respond to a previous caller.
Mm-hmm.
He asked about the cause of demonic possession, and he was referring to the fact-based movie Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yes.
Okay. He was wondering how this happened to her because she was a religious woman.
Sure.
But in the movie, it also showed during the priest trial, there was this witness who had studied possessions from other cultures, and she said that Emily Rose was sensitive and highly intuitive, which was consistent with the other possessions that she had studied in other countries. Like people that are highly intuitive should, like, protect themselves.
Right, because it's coming at them all the time.
Yeah, question the integrity of the spirits they're listening to.
Good point.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
You're right on the money on that one. Do we have time for another? We do. Let us go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Brian from Toledo.
Hi.
I'd like to tell George about a horror movie, The Toxic Avenger, and for sci-fi, Metropolis.
Sci-fi Metropolis. Metropolis is number 4. Tell me about that movie. I don't know if I've seen that one or not.
That's the old great silent film.
Metropolis, 1927 was the movie.
Yes, it was.
Gosh, I don't think I just don't think I saw that one.
Oh, wow, it's a great one. And for horror, you can't go wrong with The Toxic Avenger.
And now, that one's not on my list.
No, that's more of an obscure horror film. And if you ever want to have a wild guest in your show,
mm-hmm.
Lloyd Kaufman. He's more out there than Dr. Morgus.
Would he do it?
He would come to any... He would do anything, yes. He's a tremendous guy. He comes out in New York, and Toronto Films did their very fan-based movie. They're great.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll try to track him down. Almost it's time to get Dr. Morgus back on again, too, isn't it? It's been a long time since our old pal has been on. He's still down there in New Orleans concocting various experiments that probably will never work. If you need to email me, well, you can make that simple. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. And don't forget, March 2nd, that's next Friday, program originates live out at KTRH in Houston, Texas. But we're going to have a major event at the Verizon Theater on March 2nd, a couple hours before airtime of the show. So come on out there. It's a huge panel. The station's got a number of other of their talk show guests who will be prominent there, and come on by, and if you want to pick up the book Worker in the Light, do so, and I will sign it for you. No problem doing that. The books are not going to be available at the theater, so if you want it, Amazon.com at a steep discount, or go to your favorite bookstore down in the Houston area and pick it up before it's too late, and then just bring it with you, and I'll sign it for you. I'll be back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls on open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. You know, we're winding down the free double CD offer so that if you've been thinking about getting it, now is the time. When you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter, you get the double CD of arts interviews with the Catholic priest and exorcist, the late Father Malachi Martin. It is yours. Take advantage of it. They are collector's items. You can call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505, or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Final volley of calls. Let's go to West of the Rockies. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hello. This is Rena from San Francisco.
Hello, Rena.
I wanted to cast my vote for the best horror movie that I've seen, and that was the original The Thing.
That is a great one. And you know what? It is not on our horror list as the top 10.
Are you serious?
But it should be in there.
I suffered nightmares for a solid year.
That was a classic movie.
Yes. Thank you.
Classic.
Bye.
The remake, but not like the classic.
Not like the classic.
Now, there's something about those old ones.
Do you remember when the dog fell out of the cabinet?
Oh, yes.
Everybody in the theater
jumped.
Screamed.
They sure did. Thanks. Let's move on. Let's go to our next wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Dave calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I guess I have a real short bit of a ghost story. I'm assuming it was a ghost. Years ago, a buddy of mine and I were hanging out at his house, and none of the exterior doors or windows were open, and there was an interior door to the room that we were in, and it was open about 6 to 8 inches, and suddenly earlier my friend asked me if he felt cold in the room, and I didn't really notice it, but suddenly, right as the door just slammed shut, and right as it was closing, I noticed the air. Have you ever seen, heat coming off of the road? Or
yeah, you've got that wave, that wavy look to it.
Right.
It looks like a mirage.
Right. It's like dense air went through the opening of the door right as the door was slamming shut. And he didn't see the air go through the door, but it freaked us both out, and we just got out of the house. But I don't know. That's really about it. But I've been waiting a long time to call you and tell you that story. I've been listening to for about 6 months now.
You know, and it makes you just shake your head too when these things happen.
Yeah.
And you hope they never happen again.
Yeah, and like I say, there was no exterior opening to create a draft or anything. It was just, and the air, being able to see the air go through the door was icing on the cake.
I wonder what it was.
I don't know. That's why I had another question. If maybe perhaps I heard one of your other shows and you guys were talking about, or someone was, about the aliens becoming invisible or something, but I don't think that was the case. I think it must have been a ghost. I don't know what it was.
Well, they always say there's some cold when it comes to a spirit or a ghost. Thanks. Appreciate it, Dave. I'm going to give you the list of the top-rated sci-fi titles from number 10 on up. Some of them you may not agree with. The rest you may. Number 10 was a movie that came out in 2004 called The Incredibles. Number 9, Blade Runner. Number 8, Terminator 2 Judgment Day. Number 7, 2001 A Space Odyssey, an old classic. Number 6, Aliens from 86. Number 5, Alien from 79. Number 4, Metropolis. Number 3, The Matrix. I would not have picked that, but it's number 3. Number 2, Star Wars. And the highest rated sci-fi title, Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. I'll give you the horror films in just a moment here. Let's go to our next line, east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, am I there?
Yes, sir, you sure are.
Yes, George, this is Neil.
Hi, Neil.
Yes, George, in the late summer of 2001, I had a dream that I was on the border of Israel and Jordan, and I was facing toward the west, and it was very dark. It was dusk. The sun had gone down, and a voice said to me, Jerusalem. And I saw a nuclear detonation emanate from the city of Jerusalem. And I saw this mushroom cloud billowing up, and it was the most terrifying thing I've ever seen, because it was as though I was there in the flesh watching a real event. And, George, there was a sense of fear and dread like I cannot tell you. And I saw the shockwave begin to form, and it was coming toward me. And then my focus of attention shifted to the north and to the west, and a voice said to me, Tel Aviv. And I saw another nuclear detonation as though somebody had planted a bomb there, a nuclear weapon. And I went off in Tel Aviv, and I'm watching this thing, and the sense of fear and dread and terror was so much that I can't find words to tell you what it was like. And I want to emphasize one thing, George. This was not strange or unusual or queer like a dream. It was like I was watching a real event.
Like you were there.
Precisely. And I'm not making this up. I mean, it was like I was right there watching something that was actually taking place. So I'm watching these two events happen because I knew what was taking place, that Jerusalem and Tel Aviv were getting hit by nuclear detonations. And then my focus of attention shifted back to the first blast over Jerusalem, and I saw the shockwave coming, and it hit me and it woke me up. So I got out my world atlas, and sure enough, Jerusalem is to the north and west of the Dead Sea. To the north and west against the coast is the city of Tel Aviv, just like in the dream. And I believe, George, that I saw a real event. That was in the late summer of 2001. 5 years later, we hear President Ahmadinejad of Iran saying that he wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Let me tell you, I'm a Christian, and I believe that I was given a dream that where I was going to see what was coming. And it's really strange. Here we are 6 years later, and look what's going on now.
And let us hope that this is a dream of things that could be, not a dream of things that will be. Let's at least hope that that's the case. Top 10 horror films. Number 10, The Exorcist. Scared the living daylights out of me. Especially when her head went around and around and around. You remember that scene? Linda Blair. Number 9, Psycho. Always an all-time classic by Alfred Hitchcock. The shower scene, still one of the most frightening on any piece of film. Number 8, Dead by Dawn, Evil Dead 2. That is number 8. Number 7, Dawn of the Dead. Huh. I wouldn't have picked that. Number 6, as I mentioned, was Alien. Number 5, the classic, Halloween. You can see I'm thumbing through this. This is live. Number 4, The Haunting. That's a classic. Number 3, Nightmare on Elm Street. Number 2, The Evil Dead. And number 1, the scariest horror film ever made, according to people polled, The Shining. There you have it. Now sit back and enjoy this for one split second. This was a gift from my staff to me. A visit from a boyfriend, boy town friend, a long time ago. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi.
What door? Is that door there?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, George.
Morgus.
George Morgus in New Orleans.
How are you?
Oh, George, am I glad to get to you. Our telephones were all down through the hurricane, and of course we've got it all fixed up now, and I'm really, really moving along with this lab now, George.
Oh, so thank God. You know, we talked to you briefly after Katrina, but your phone went out, and we didn't know what happened to you, so you're okay and your family's okay?
Oh, George, listen, everybody, Chopsley's right here, Dr. Chopsley's here, and Eric, everybody's in good shape here. You know, George, we did evacuate over there, because I'll tell you why. The city, you know, had a mandatory evacuation, but there's no way I would ever leave this lab, George. You know what's in here.
What is there?
Oh, you know, George, come on, you know, some secret stuff we talked about. And granted, you know, everybody would like to get in here. This is why we've got to stay here and protect it. I tell you, no, and besides, I'm probably the only building in New Orleans that had electricity and utilities 24/7, you know.
Well, I'm glad they're rebuilding. I'm glad you're rebuilding. And now you were in the city ice house, right? What happened to that?
Well, which one, George? What was that?
Weren't you in the ice house?
Well, absolutely. You know, this been here about 200 years. It was an old tanning factory. Used to alligator skins and muskrats, you know. But back in the late 1800s, it became one of the first ice houses in the South. And of course, we got a hold of it in the 50s here. Back, well, you were in Detroit at that time.
Yes. And then, watching you on television.
That's right, sir. Listen, this was fantastic. Imagine us about 50 getting together. But, George, listen, I've got something. Why I called you is, you don't know it, but I need that audience of yours to know what we're doing here in New Orleans. George, I've come up with something. You know, I've been working with all kind of microbiology. I've been working with all of the molecular designs for new inventions. And now I've got something, George, that's just going to break your heart. We have right here in the lab, George, I was working with subatomic particles. And get this, George.
What did you uncover?
Uncover, listen. I have moved solid molecules across this building. George, I have moved myself with solid molecules through this machine. Chopsley, get away from the machine. I have moved myself out of this room where I am now into a room down the hallway. electronically, George.
You teleport.
I just wanted your people there to know that I could do this. Chopley, get away from the knife yet. Boy, all right, Chopley. Let's do it for George here. No, don't press that button. Press the other button. Press it. Go ahead. That's it.
What's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. I'm in your studio, George.
I'm in your studio now, George.
The real Morgus is here. Get over here.
How did you do that? I tell you, George, this has been a thrill.
You guys were in on this.
The whole bunch were in on this, George. Let me tell you, you had Tom, you had Steve, you had Lisa, you had Craig, the kitchen, you had Trevor, Oliver, and the whole gang in this building. They love you, George.
This is incredible.
They brought me here in the company jet.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely. Private jet all the way here, George.
They've never flown me in the company jet.
They haven't shown you the company jet, have they?
No, not at all.
Well, you don't want to, George. They stopped in Tijuana with me. I mean, it was wonderful. But they did it all for you, George. You know why? Because they knew you were going to be leaving for Christmas.
Yes.
And they wanted to give you a little Christmas early and a surprise they thought you might appreciate. Have your old friend from Detroit come here 45 years later to see you again.
This is incredible. You talk about surprise. What are the odds of coming up with a surprise hotline?
These guys did it. You know what? And I tell you what, I was going to bring something here for them, but the transformation, of course, was just incredible. Just coming here like this. And, of course, your audience knows that we just pulled a little trick on you here, that I really didn't transport myself like that.
I've got to tell you, we have such heavy security, and to see you come bolting into the studio kind of shocked the heck out of me.
Well, George, have I changed?
Actually, you look younger.
I do? Oh, my gosh, no wonder. Well, that must be the new treatment I'm on. But, George, I tell you what, just being here and seeing the studio you guys work out of is really something incredible.
It's a little different than the ice house, isn't it?
Well, I tell you, that's for sure thing, and I'm sure the rent is a little higher, too. George,
what do you think?
Well, let me put it this way. If I could get everyone listening to this program to get on the same level I am on, and I know this sounds like braggadocio to some people, but, you know, take it as it will. But, friends, I can guarantee you can use the mind to do wonderful things. George, you more than anyone know the psychokinesis thing, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, guys, I tell you what, you know the astronaut Edgar Mitchell?
I know him real well. He's been on the program several times.
Oh, really?
Dear friend.
Well, has he talked about this?
Yes, he has.
Well, I'll tell you that. You know,
a wonderful guy.
You know that the mind has unbelievable potential. And I can tell you right now, you know, if you were smart, George, really smart, if you were up in my level, now I'm not putting you down. I'm not putting it down, George, but listen to this. I want these people
not
to hear
many
this.
People are up to your level.
Well, intellectually,
as much as we might try.
Well, intellectually, I've got to say that because I've got to let them know that there's a chance for everyone to get up there with me, friends. You see, when you're at my intellect, you cannot do violent things. When you go back the years, well, we're going back to the hominins. You know what a hominin is, you know?
Yeah.
We're talking about people that lived 18 million years ago. They were throwing rocks at each other. What are they doing over here in France tonight?
They're still throwing rocks.
George, an intelligent person like myself wouldn't do that. If a mugger came up to me right now and said, fella, I'm going to give it to you in the face, you know what? He couldn't hurt me, George. He could not hurt me. You know why?
Why?
I have mind control, George. I can control his mind. I can stop him in his tracks. Now, George, you're going to witness this. You know I'm in your studio tonight.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to do it. Before we leave, I want you to come up to me and you try to take a punch at me.
I can't take a swing at you. And I know you want me to, and you think you can stop my arm in mid-motion, but...
Well, I could do it, George. You know, it's you have to put yourself in what we call a precognition mode. What we're doing is we're going into abilities, just like you have telepathy or we have clairvoyance. I have mind control. And once you put this precognition state into your body, which I can do just like snapping a finger, it's amazing what happens, George, with the mind being able to control. It's like putting waves through the air. You won't feel it until you try to hit me. And then you stop. You can't do it. I'm walking up to you right now. Now look, don't get frightened now. You're my buddy. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Okay.
Nothing's going to happen to me. All right.
I would kick myself for the rest of my life.
I want you to give me the best you've got, George. Okay. Swing back. You ready? One, two, four. Put it right here against the cheek. Go ahead. Go ahead, hit it. Go ahead.
You ready?
Ready. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh.
Well, George. Oh, well, that sheet, I didn't hurt at all.
Oh, my God.
You have a handkerchief?
Unbelievable.
Oh, God. This is embarrassing.
You assured me.
Yeah, what? Well,
this would work.
You know, George, I'm in a different atmosphere around here. There's this place, you know, you've got black walls, you've got kind of Craig lights. I mean, why do you have it moody in here?
I feel so rotten.
Oh, gosh.
Are you okay?
I'm okay. I think my tooth, I only have four teeth, George. I think you loosened one of them.
Well, why did you?
Don't worry about it, George. We're still friends forever. Don't worry about it. I'll fix it, George. Boy. Well, anyway,
every experiment you do,
George,
something goes wrong.
George, I think it's the lighting in here. I honestly believe it is. This is embarrassing, and I know people will fall out of love for me. But I tell you, friends, it has a great deal to do.
I just want to make sure you're okay.
Oh, I'm perfectly fine, George. No, everything's fine.
Not that you have many teeth left anyway.
Everything's fine. No, all four of them are okay. But nonetheless, it's such a surprise to you know, have the opportunity to try something in front of the whole world here and have a little discrepancy take
millions
place.
Millions of listeners.
Oh, listen,
I
don't
hold
your
TV show.
Well, I would not hold this against you, George, and I hope people that heard this will just... In fact, you know what? I can make them forget it, George. I have the...
No more experiments.
No, but I don't want them to remember this tomorrow.
No, they may forget everything, and we don't want that to happen.
May permeate the whole show.
That could be... I remember it forever. Good old Dr. Morgus. Boy, there's going to be a run at the video stores on sci-fi and horror films tomorrow, I guarantee it. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Rebecca Baker, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Dan Brady, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone.